الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected علماء الكرام, brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us to this world for a very short period of time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call us back from this dunya. The coming and going of man is not in his choice, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him a choice in this world to lead the lifestyle that he wishes to. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, has showed us what is the real life and what is the real lifestyle that should be adopted. But in principle, we find though man may differ, his era may differ, his period may differ, his looks and color may differ, his language may differ, but we find them unanimous in one thing, irrespective of the age and era of man that had come into this dunya. Each human being is aspiring to be successful in this world. Each human being, whether it is a little boy, whether it is an 80 or 90 year old man, whether it is a male or female, whether he belongs to this continent, some other continent, whether he's in our age and era, or whether it was in the past or in the future, every sensible human being that comes wishes to have a successful life in this world. But the only difference again after this consensus is this, that what is the criteria of success? So what is real success? Here we find mankind again differing, and each one follows the principle that he adopts, that he honors and is convinced that this is the principle that I should adopt in my life, or the formula for my success is based on this particular thing. There are many, many different formulas that men have adopted in the past and even in this present time. We just examined a few to see in the light of the Quran and Hadith whether these principles are worth following. One very common principle in the minds of many people and the minds of many youth in this time and age and era, the age of materialism, is this, that wealth is the criteria of our success. I have a good job, I have enough money in the bank, I have a very good profession, and I can earn myself thousands and hundreds and millions of rands, and I am a successful person in this world. And this is nothing new. We find even Qarun had mentioned this, that I have been given all this because of my know-how, and he had regarded himself to be successful when he was advised by his people. But we find that this man, firstly, when he makes his goal, his sole goal, the dunya, and the earning of wealth, the very first problem is this, that his life becomes so occupied and engaged in all these things that he has no time for anything else. If the object is to enjoy the wealth, then if you look at the person who's made the object, the wealth himself, he has no time to enjoy the wealth. He is busy from the morning till the evening. He has no time for his family. He has no leisure time and pleasure time. Does even, in many cases we find, does not even spend the money freely because of the fear of want and need. And he never reaches that satisfaction and that peace and that contentment that he's looking for. Why? Because there's always somebody that will surpass him as far as the wealth is concerned. There will always be somebody who will drive past with a better car. He will drive and see a home that is better than his home. He will look at somebody that's having more luxuries and enjoyment in this world than himself. And when he looks at this, then he becomes depressed. Then he becomes despondent that I have strived for so many years and I have earned so much of wealth. But look at this person, he has much more wealth than me. When wealth becomes the aim, then a person begins to measure the people with wealth. He looks at the person, doesn't look at his honor and respect as far as the deen is concerned, but he looks at him, he weighs him up in wealth. I am worth 50 million, how much is this person worth? I am worth 1 billion, how much is this person worth? So that is why what we find is this satisfaction all the time. And he's never contented and never reaches that point when he feels that now my life is successful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this life only once. And a person keeps striving and striving and striving, and when he reaches the end of his life, that peace, that contentment, that success, that beautiful life he wished for is not achieved. And when he looks back, then he finds that he's not achieved, but there's no way of turning back, and he leaves this dunya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the Quran and told us about Qarun, etc. People that had wealth, great amount of wealth. That amount of wealth, imagine that the keys were carried. a strong army or a strong force, a strong group of people could not become weary and tired by just carrying the keys of the treasure, the keys of his treasure that he had. But what was the result? فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِ الْأَرْضِ Then we sunk him into the earth and he was completely destroyed. Today also when he's mentioned, he's not mentioned with honor and respect. He's mentioned as a lesson for all of us that this type of wealth that you have without the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never bring you success. That is why you find a person aspires from one building to another, one property to another, 1 million to another, and we find it continues and continues and continues, but the peace of mind and satisfaction is not there. So we understand the fallacy, or we understand how deceptive this principle is, that wealth will bring us success, wealth will bring me comfort, wealth will bring me peace of mind and a very good life in this world. Another principle we find many people adopt is this, that I must become honorable and respected in the sight of the people. And for that, people do many things. People do many, many things. Some people go for big jobs. Some people go for higher education, etc. With the object that I become honorable and respectable in the sight of the masses, in the sight of the people, and this will give me a very honorable and respectable life. And there were many that claimed this in the past, and we found that that honor was very short-lived. And honor was not real honor. Honor is that where a person has honor for you, not because of your fear, not because of your position, but in deep down, in the deep recesses of his heart, he has honor for you, he has love for you, that is the real honor. Not that a person, the staff is greeting the boss with a lot of respect outwardly. Why? Because his job is at stake. The tenant is greeting the landlord. Why? Because his rental is at stake. This is not real honor. Real honor is that honor, like the Sahaba Ikram, Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'een. Today, after so many 14 centuries, we say Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We take their names with honor and respect, and we feel honored by taking their names. This was a real honor that was there. And honor lies only in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You seek honor, especially in the eyes of the people. أَيَبْتَغُونَ عِنْدَهُمُ الْعِزَّةِ فَإِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honor. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ Honor and respect is for Allah and His Rasul, and for the believers that believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no matter how much positions a person may have, how much degrees he may have, and how outstanding he becomes in the society, but real honor and real respect, this will not bring him that peaceful life and that contentment, because real honor and real respect does not lie in positions, does not lie in wealth, does not lie in professions, does not lie in education, but lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that this going from one stage to another, to get this peace of mind through honor, also is something, it's a failure. Thereafter we find there's another concept that is becoming rife by the day, that is the person must bring the maximum amount of joy and enjoyment to himself. Maximum amount of joy and enjoyment to himself in the form of eating and drinking and indulging in fulfilling his passions and desires in whatever way he wishes to, he should do so. Then this will become give him a very contented life, a peaceful life, an enjoyable life. And here also we find that the fallacy of this principle is so much that many a person cannot even wait till the time comes to leave this dunya, but he takes his life. He takes his life before natural death comes to him. He cannot even survive when he adopts this principle. Especially today in this era and age, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, and especially our youth, when there's so much substance abuse, we find people adopt unnatural ways that we cannot even fathom and understand, to bring some enjoyment in their lives, some enjoyment and some peace and some contentment in their lives. Somebody is taking some injections, somebody is drinking some pills, somebody is sniffing something. Why? Because he wants to be happy and contented, and he wants his life to be peaceful. And what happens when a person adopts these ways, that even if the animals knew the reality, they will also frown at the human being. That the person with so much understanding and intelligence adopts these ways to bring himself peace and comfort and tranquility in this world, how can this ever be? But yet we find that this is a stark reality that is glaring to our faces everywhere in every corner of our society. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made restrictions for us as far as our eating and drinking and carnal desires are concerned, because He is our creator. He knows what amount of potential we have and what up to what extent we indulge ourselves and what will bring for us peace of mind and a contented life. So we find this also is very, very scary, especially with regard to our youth. We should ensure that they don't frequent such places where these things are accepted as norms in the society, where these things are accepted in the people. Nobody frowns upon them if somebody is smoking or somebody is drinking or somebody is upon drugs, etc. It's just a part and a way of life. Here we find many areas of our society, this has become rampant and rife with these things people indulge in openly, and nobody thinks evil about it. What happens? That person, he loses himself, and many cases he even loses his iman, and he leaves this dunya in such a state. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Becomes addicted to this, and this opens the doors of so many other crimes. So many other crimes. The object is to bring enjoyment to himself. And in pursuing this avenue, we find that person becomes a means of destroying families, destroying communities, destroying societies, destroying the assets of his parents, etc., and destroying the respect of himself and his family, etc. So this is another principle that is becoming more ripe by the day, and we find that this is one of the worst things that a person could have imagined or could have thought of as a principle of success. Then when we come to the Holy Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator and our maker, who knows whatever we require. He knows our potential. He knows the periods that will be passing, and he knows what is good for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us so nicely and so easily and so clearly in this verse that whoever does good deeds, whether he is a male or a female, and on condition that he has iman, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises, فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاتًا طَيِّبًا, then we will definitely give him a very, very good life, a peaceful life, a life of contentment. And not only that, in this dunya, this life of the dunya is very short-lived. This will be filled with peace and contentment and tranquility. وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and we'll give him the best good rewards we'll give him in the hereafter for the good deeds that he carries out. So here the principle of success and the formula for success spelled out by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself for all ages, for all people, for all times, under all circumstances, for all types of people, male and female, young and old, is iman and amal saliha. Person has iman and has amal saliha, this guarantees him a peaceful life in this world and guarantees him, inshallah, a great successful life in the hereafter. This is the principle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions for us. Where do we seek this iman and amal saliha? Will we find it in the bazaars? Will we find this iman and saliha in the schools where we send our children? Will we find it in the colleges and universities? No, adversely we will find those things that destroy iman and amal saliha in these centers that we frequent. That is why we have to make a concentrated effort to see that we have this iman. We look after this iman. We develop this iman. We look after this iman and develop it to such an extent that amal saliha becomes the second tabiat of man, becomes so naturally for us to carry out. That's why Rasulullah tells us that you cannot be a complete mu'min till your passions and till your desires, till your carnal desires do not become subservient to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with that which I have come with. Other words, carrying out salat, carrying out zakat, abstaining from evil and haram becomes second nature to man. His iman is developed to such an extent that abstention from these things becomes so easy. Today, unfortunately, everywhere we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all, because our iman is not developed, despite knowing the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we flout the orders of Allah, we break the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite knowing. Why? Because the iman is not that strong. The iman is not developed. There's no manhood that is made on the iman. And for this we find that the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had come, and they had come for the same thing. The first thing the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned, أن يعبدوا الله وأطيعوني قال يا قوم اعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there's no one to worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and follow me, follow the Rasul and follow the Nabi. This is how a person's iman will be developed, by obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obedience to the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, we find various occasions where we are invited to develop this iman, to develop this amal saliha, all these darul ulum that are there for the same reason, to establish our iman, to develop our iman, and to teach us what is amal saliha. And the khanqahs are there for the same reason, so that we gain a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the basis of iman, where a person is linked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these ijtimas that take place for the same reason. The object is not eating and drinking. The object is how this iman can be developed, how this amal saliha can be developed, so that we can become successful in this world and in the hereafter. And these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the person who has iman and amal saliha, then we will give him a peaceful life, a life of enjoyment, a life of contentment in this world and the hereafter. And if you go to see, if you apply our minds slowly, little bit, then there was one ijtima that had taken place where every person was present. Every person, black or white, yellow or green, from east or west, whatever language he had spoken, all of them were present there, whether he was a mu'min or not a mu'min. And this was before we had come into this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had gathered the souls of everybody, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taken a pledge from us, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, Am I not your Lord? Am I not your sustainer? Am I not your creator? Am I not the person that has brought you into this dunya? And everybody had mentioned in one, with one voice, those who say, Bala, definitely, and why not? Oh Allah, you are our sustainer, you are our cherisher, and you are our provider. And like one person had mentioned, that all those other ijtimas that are taking place, these are preparation for another ijtima of a similar type that will take place in the akhirat, and that type will be ijtima of not only questioning, will be ijtima of reckoning, ijtima of accounting for all the ni'mats that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given us, this life and everything that we possess. That day it will be asked for, how did you carry this out? What did you do with your youth? What did you do with your knowledge? What did you do with your wealth? There's another ijtima that is taking to take place where every single human being will be present there. And one person mentioned so beautifully that all these ijtimas are not only for eating and drinking. The object here for this ijtima is to prepare for that ijtima that is coming on the Day of Judgment, where every person, every human being, whether he's a mu'min or not even a mu'min, will have to be present there. So the object of the ijtima is to work and develop our iman and develop our aman as salihah to assist us here. And we find with the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to the sacrifices of so many hundreds of people and the worry of so many hundreds of people and their concern, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such that we come into an environment normally, when you go into these environments of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where talks are given about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein we are reminded about our iman, about the beliefs of our iman, about our beliefs about the qabr and hashar and nashar everywhere. And we find many occasions a person is affected with this environment and it becomes the means of changing his entire life. And with the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there are thousands and millions of people over the globe that have just gone and just listened with a little bit of attention, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it the means of their hidayat, and their entire life has changed. And we find people that were far away from deen just by attending these gatherings where the Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned. We find what happens, that person changes and his lifestyle changes. Lifestyle of his home changes, lifestyle of his family changes. That person that could not even read Quran, now one son is a mufti, the other son is a mujahid fi sabilillah, the other son is a hafiz of Quran, and the other son is spending time the part of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person could not even read the Quran, but here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the barakah of attending these gatherings, has changed his life. And now we find he's enjoying that life of peace and tranquility and contentment in this world, irrespective of his social standing in the society. Person is so happy, I have so many children that are in the path of Allah, I have a son that is a mufti, I have a certain person that is running a madrasa and a darul uloom. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has turned his heart, and he had that force of iman. Now he's spending his time, his energy, and all the resources that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him in that way, in that channel, that is loved by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Life becomes a paradise, and inshallah akhirat day is the real paradise. Life becomes a paradise. A person, when he sees his children in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the real coolness of the eyes of a person. And on the other hand, when we don't strive on our children, don't make any effort on the children, and ma'azallah, Allah Pak save us, when they are caught up in the evil of the environments, then that becomes the child, life becomes a living hell for a person. When there's no peace and contentment, that child has gone off the track, and there's nothing in the world now that can bring him right. So here, for our affirmation, for our peaceful life in this world, the peaceful life of our Muslim brothers and our people around us, and for the entire Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have these Mubarak gatherings. The next gathering will be taking place, inshallah, is Mubarak Ijtima. Next Ijtima will be taking place, inshallah, on the 22nd, 23rd and 24th of September, inshallah, in Newcastle. We are very fortunate, mashallah, there's great effort made for this, and there's arrangements made in our masajid also for those people that wish to frequent this ijtima, do not have transport. Transport facilities are also arrangements that are made here by our brothers here at the back of the masjid who sit for the mashwara. And this is, as I mentioned, for what? For iman and amal saliha to be injected into our lives, to be developed into our lives, to be brought to a higher level in our lives, so that we can get that peaceful life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, and that peaceful life that every person yearns for, and which is a real success, that our life is full of tranquility and peace and happiness and joy, and the hereafter there is forever peace and tranquility in the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give me and all of us a tawfiq not to let this opportunity go by, but to go ourselves and take our friends and our associates and our people and our family and our children also to this place where the talks of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the prime purpose of this activity. There's no other purpose. Everything else is for necessity, but the prime purpose is to work on our iman, to conscientize us about our iman. And as I mentioned today, the places that we frequent are not places that develop our iman, whether they are the so-called secular institutions, whether they are the malls and halls that people go to, or whether other areas they go to. We find, to a large extent, these are places that destroy this iman that we have, that weaken this iman that we have, that make us go away to the deen of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these places here, this is like an oasis in a vast desert here. These are the places that we should be clinging to, going to and yearning to take everyone to such a place for their salvation and to save them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to appreciate these efforts and to participate in there. Today we are here in this dunya, tomorrow we will be gone. And it will be too late after we leave this dunya. These are golden opportunities that we have. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it a means of our spiritual upliftment, the means of developing our iman and our amal saliha and our link and connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereby, inshallah, with the fadl of Allah, we can have a peaceful life in this world and hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.